The Airdrie Stallions, Brother Derek, Divine Park include proud citizen Stevie Wonder Boy, are represented by yearlings in Tuesday's sale out at Facy Tipton. Brother Derek won grade one stakes at 2 and 3, earned more than $1,611,000. Divine Park won 6 of his 9 starts, including the grade one Metropolitan, the grade three Withers, and the grade three Westchester. He's one of 28 stakes winners from 3 crops by the grade one winner Chester House, a half brother to the top sire Empire Maker. Divine Park ran a mile and 1:32 and 3 to take the Westchester. Including proud citizen are both represented by grade one stakes winners this year. In fact, Proud Citizen sired his second winner of the Classic Kentucky Oaks. Stevie Wonderboy was voted champion 2-year-old after winning the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile and the Grade 2 Del Mar Futurity. He's earned more than $1 million. He is a sire of Hollywood Park Stakes winner and Grade 2 place Made to Lover, of California Stakes winner Run Stevie Run, Graded Stakes place Katie Get Excited, and Graded Stakes place Starship Flare in his first crop. Brother Derek, Divine Park, include Proud Citizen, Stevie Wonder Boy. Standard Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones, Airdrie Stud. Check the website at airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursula Ellis.
Good morning. We're here at the Thoroughbred Center in the clocker stand. Got a fan turned on us, and everybody's sitting around here complaining.
Oh, Lord, it's hot. My heavens, it's hot. I'll tell you what, though. Put it in perspective. The day record was set in 1901. We won't crack that.
What was it, I wonder?
I forgot. I was reading the article. It was pretty interesting. The all-time length of drought heat record, we'll never get anywhere close to that. That was in 1936. Uh-huh. That, of course, was the Dust Bowl and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That having been said, it's real hot.
Yeah, it is real hot. Most of the works, we had 75 works this morning.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding.
What
I wish
time?
I was.
All at 5:30?
We had a bunch of them starting just as soon as the lights came on. We turned the lights on out here at 5:30. And we were ready, and Holly had to come out with Holly Dunn, wishing her happy birthday anyway, Holly. It's Monday, actually, is her birthday, but we're eating runny cupcakes right now.
Yeah, everybody want to stop by and watch the the icing slowly slide down the cupcake.
Anyway, Holly's up. She's an old lady. All of she's going to turn 23 on Monday.
23, my word.
She's the medic out here, and she also helps me clock. She volunteers to do that. I don't know why she does, but
too.
Yeah.
Got her own cowgirl.
Yeah, imported from Iowa.
That's right. We're very proud of that.
Yep. Anyway, we clocked 75 horses out there this morning. 49 before the break, so that means 26 after.
And the break.
I was surprised it was that many after the break. Break is from 8 until 8:30. So
yeah, it was pretty hot by then. I went out to try to walk, and it was just stifling. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I'll do it tomorrow.
Well, anyway.
Or whenever it cools off.
Well, it's supposed, it's supposed to cool off to 93 tomorrow.
Yeah, and then it goes in the 80s, and we got a 40 or 50% chance of rain tomorrow and 60% on Monday.
Boy, we would need rain desperately.
Yeah, we look out the back of our house through a couple fields, and it gets down to where there are just nothing but trees.
Yeah.
And they're starting to turn yellow. I hate that. You know, grass will come back, and you can always buy another bush. But, gee whiz, the trees.
Well, they're still running pretty good out of here. Since last week's show, we've had 10 winners. Steve Casey, and Steve's going to come on the show today.
Good.
Steve is he was with Barbara Hunter for a number of years, and Barbara Hunter's kind of eased out of the business, you know. So Steve is training. He's got some of his own, but anyway, he's a good trainer. I mean, I know he was batting last year. I don't know what he did at Turfway, but it was real high percentage, almost 30%, something like that. And anyway, he saddled a winner on the 30th. Curvin Smith, our buddy Curvin.
Old Curvin.
Yeah. Robert Sturgeon, Paul Brown Jr., Curvin Smith again. And then
Curvin again?
Yeah, he won two. Won two in 2 days. First and the third. And then on the third at Mountaineer, the $75,000 firecracker stakes went to Revelstoke, and Revelstoke is trained by Jimmy Corrigan.
Right here.
Jimmy's another good trainer. And that was the filly won awful easy. She won by almost five lengths. So she's a right nice filly. Then Tommy Short had a winner on the fourth. John Paul Puchak had one down at Ellis day four yesterday. And Eduardo Caramero had a winner. So that's 10 winners so far this month. And here we come with... What'd you bring? I've got...
Bringing a plate of banana bread.
A plate of banana bread?
Yeah, that Angela...
Well, go get it, for God's sakes. Where is
he? I'll go get it in a second.
It's just Michael blowing.
We don't have any runny icy on it.
No.
There's no icing on it.
Right.
When we come here, we think you're the icing on the cake. That's how pathetic our lives are.
I hope you excuse me for not wearing a hat. I hope the glare doesn't get you, but it's just too damn hot to wear a hat.
They said the good news was the break in the weather was going to be today. Then they said,
"No, it's tomorrow.
We'll get to 103.
103 today.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, I think it's 93, and then it gets back to normal, which is mid 80s and 60s, and that's
nice.
Yeah, that's and with some rain.
Yeah, with
some rain. Anyway, well, Steve Casey's going to come on the show with me, and let's see. Of course, we got Dr. Doug Byers. We got Michael Bluen.
Let's get really excited, can we? How enthusiastic can he be?
Steve Moody is on vacation, so we don't know Steve. Maybe you've got to give her a loser the week when the time comes. I see you brought your own racing form.
No, I didn't. That's yours. I just moved it over here.
Oh, well, you know, I have two, so you can have one.
Oh, my God. See? You know, I don't care. I think you're very generous. I don't care what they say. I dispute it all the time.
Just keep talking. It'll be $6. Go ahead. I will forego the tax. Going to talk about a couple of winners of the Hollywood Gold Cup, which is a relatively new stake, Doc. It didn't start.
We have two winners.
You got two winners of the cup?
Yes.
Okay, who are they?
Early Pioneer.
Okay, I've got a hat that says Early Pioneer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
But that's because you were an early pioneer. That has nothing to do with the horse. That's back in the day, like 18, whatever it was. And marquetry.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then the next year, 1939, well, 38 winner was Seabiscuit. The next year, 39, was his stablemate, Kayak, the second, who was imported. Nice. And let's see, Chaladon. We're going to talk about him. He won the third one. He was a stud over here on where Victory Haven is now when Ira Drymond had it over there, Chaladon. Maryland bred. And what
how many times did Lava Man win it? He won it like four times.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What was that other?
Three or four times.
Yeah. All righty. What else is going on out your way?
Well, you know, we're having a good time. We've got... Milt Toby, who wrote that wonderful book on Dancer's Image, is writing a book on Noor.
Is he now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he came over and we talked about Noor being buried at Old Friends.
Yeah.
I think Noor might have won the Hollywood Gold Cup, too.
He beat Citation.
Yeah, three times.
Yeah, in a row, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then he came east and got beat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the way it happens.
Somebody beat him in the Jockey Club Gold Cup. Everybody was calling him a world beater. He was instrumental. Noor was one of the reasons that they went to get Najrula. He got hot over here, and some other horses by Najrula were starting to show some run. Of course, he was leading top Messiah list over there. But I don't know. They all had a temperament problem or something, but didn't bother Bull Hancock. He went and got him. So that's where...
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the book. I'm sure it's going to be really good. You know, Milt won that special the Tony Ryan Book Award last year for his book on Dancer's Image.
Yeah, it was a good book.
I
had him on the show. I remember when Milt was working for the Bloodhorse. I believe he did.
Yeah, I was going through some old Thoroughbred records the other day and found some pictures he took of Affirmed.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I've got a great picture of Affirmed going down the backside with Coughing Up and... I believe it's the Derby. It's either I neglected to look it up, see which one it is. I could look on the saddle cloth and see which the post position it was, but I've got a voice.
That's why they pay you the big bucks to do this detective work, because you can figure that out.
I didn't know anybody was paying me the good big bucks, but that's okay.
So that was, it was good seeing him. And, you know, Steve Anderson with his group has been very helpful with us getting some things. We got some, you know, paid for some paint, got our paddock painted for free.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're getting our new Toro mower. And I'm telling you, things are happening. And the biggest news is that Daily Racing Form, they'll probably make an announcement this week, is coming out with the first time in their history, they're coming out with a special issue, and it's all dedicated to old friends.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Are you in it?
What's that?
Are you in it?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I'm in the back of the book somewhere.
Other than that, Doc, it ought to be pretty good.
But Barbara Livingston was here for a week taking pictures.
You were going to bring her by, and you didn't.
Well, it's not my fault. She couldn't wait to get. I don't know why she wanted to leave so fast, but maybe
that was it.
She had other work to do, I guess.
Yeah.
But anyway, so she was down, and Jay Hubdy's doing a piece, and Jay Pribman, and we're all writing a piece about the horses. And the other thing is, we're going to a commentator's going up to New York to see his fans for the summer during the Saratoga meet, and we're going to get Zippy Chippy down here, and
that
it's like
horse.
The worst trade in horse racing history.
Yeah.
Two-time Whitney winner. Okay, I'll take that one who's old for 100. So anyway, that's what's going to happen, so people can go out and see Zippy.
And you're going to turn him out with the horses.
Rapid Redux.
Rapid Redux.
Yes. Well, a week from tomorrow is Rapid Redux Day at Old Friends. So 2:00, if anybody wants to come over, we'll have some soft drinks and have some things. And David Wells, Rapid Redux trainer, is coming to visit him.
Just soft drinks?
Well, for you, we might have to make an exception.
I'll have you know I haven't had a beer in 3 weeks.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah. In this heat, that's quite a, you know, it's quite an accomplishment.
I'm trying to lose some weight. But, you know what that beard do to you.
Well, taking the hat off did something.
Oh, created a little glow.
It's your weight loss program. Just take the hat off.
I had it off out on the porch this morning, and the horses were spooking. I had to put it back on.
Wow. So. Well, we got lots of people coming to visit. We have some, you know, we've really, really had some wonderful people lately come and see these horses. And I was watching this documentary on HRTV on Seattle Slough.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting. And they showed the Jockey Club Gold Cup when he ran against Affirmed, and they put a rabbit in the race. And, I mean, it's just an amazing – Exceller ended up winning the race, but only because Seattle Slough was softened up. But that was one of the greatest performances I've ever seen by a racehorse. To take his Derby and all the rest of them. But that Jockey Club Gold Cup in which he finished second was just
how far did
courageous.
He beat that day you saw the race?
Half a head.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not only that, it looked like Shoemaker on Exceller was going to go right by him at the top of the stretch because the fractions were so, you know, he was running on the lead with Affirmed and another horse, I think his name was Life's Hope, who was also in there as a rabbit, and they set these amazing fractions, and they thought there's no way he's going to get the distance, and got down to the wire, and he almost came back and beat Exceller. So it was an amazing thing.
That picture I have of Affirmed, they gave it to me, Spencer Farm gave it to me when he went to stud over there.
Nice.
Yeah.
He was a beautiful horse.
Oh, yeah.
Phew.
Yeah. Game, boy, it was dead game. Dead game. That's the best thing about him.
Yeah.
It was his heart, you know. He wouldn't let Alibi by with him, and it just wasn't going to happen.
It's amazing. And how they
not
know
alibi,
it, too.
Alibi.
You know, it's funny. This is, I'm not comparing this at all, but it is funny to see these horses run in retirement. They run the same way that they did on the racetrack. The closers close. When you're feeding in the morning with the geldings, and there's five of them up there, the ones that showed early speed will show early speed. The others will let them go, and then at the last minute, they'll put on this big move to the feed bucket, and they'll close.
I said alibi, I'm in alibi. I got to take a break. You ready for me to take a break?
Yes, sir. Whatever you say, you're the boss.
Can you hold your breath for a minute, you know? We're going to be a little longer in a minute, I think.
Which minute?
Which minute, yeah. Well, Eddington, Platter, and Warfront were represented by stakes winners last weekend. Eddington's the sire of Brushed by a Star, winner of the $100,000 Iowa Distaff Handicap. Bred in Kentucky by Desmond Ryan, Barry Donworth, and Ken Donworth. Brushed by a Star won an allowance race at Churchill in a previous start. And she's the fourth 2012 stakes winner by Eddington, a list that includes Grade 2 winner Secret Circle. Flatter is a sire of 5 stakes winners this year. His Lucy's Bob Boy, winner of the Coin Collection Stakes, has posted 4 wins and 2 seconds from 6 starts. And that same day, Catch a Thief by Flatter, winner earlier this year of stakes at Aqueduct, ran second in the Grade 3 Bed of Roses. Forefront 6 2012 stakes winner is Frontside, a Pennsylvania bred winner of over $100,000. It was a $100,000 stakes up at Indiana Downs. She was stakes placed earlier this year at Gulfstream. Then, on July 5 at Belmont, he sired his 7th 2012 stakes winner when the 3-year-old colt Dr. Chip sprinted 6 furlongs, 108 and 4 to win the Western Lark Stakes by 3 1/4 lengths. Dr. Chick is 3 for 3 this year. Among Warfront's 2012 stakes winners is the Grade 1 winner, Data Link. Eddington, Flatter, and Warfront stand at Claiborne Farm. Watch for yearlings by the Claiborne Stallions at the major auctions. And for more information, contact Bernie Sams at Claiborne Farm and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They are experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, last Saturday at Arlington, the Mariah Storm Stakes was won by Lady Candidate, the 3-year-old filly in the first crop by Bob and John, and the Grade 3 Bashford Manor Stakes at Churchill went to Circle Unbroken, a 2-year-old, a colt teased by Broken Vow. Lady Candidate is 2 for 2 this year, broke her maiden in a maiden special at the fairgrounds in December, won an allowance race at Arlington by nearly 14 lengths, and forced the pace to win the Grade 1 Mariah Storm. Bred in New York by John Adger and C. Linwood O'Kane, and trained by Mike Stidham, she's won a going on 40 winners, 2 stakes winners, 3 stakes horses from the first crop of Bob and John. Undefeated Circle Unbroken was bred by Brylian Farm and is trained by Gary Sims. He won his first start in a maiden special at Churchill on June 12, then won the Bashford Manor at the direct expense of Positively by Distorted Humor, another well-bred colt. He's won a 16 2012 stakes horses by Broken Vow, 8 of 1 stakes, 3 of 1 graded stakes, 8 others have placed in stakes. To watch for future runners by Bob and John and Broken Vow at the yearling sale this year. They stand at Pin Oak Stud. Inquiries of Clifford Barry or Nancy Stevens, see the website at pinoakstud.com.
I'm heading down the highway, having your friend.
Doc, you ready to roll?
I'm ready to roll.
Dr. Doug Bauer, what are we talking about today?
Well, I thought I'd bring a couple of informational things in.
Okay.
And
I need
we'll
all
talk about something clinical. The Grayson Foundation, which is our strongest research organization, that's their annual report just came out. So they're having a meeting next week at Fasig Tipton, which I'll go over to.
It's good for you.
And, it's just the main circle of people there.
Dale Hancock's the chairman, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, what a nice lady.
And so, just that report shows, where the money's going, what the projects are, and stresses how important that thing is to the future for our horses, mm-hmm. The research. So, I just thought I'd show it to you.
Thank you. Thank
and make
you.
Make the public aware that there is a meeting over at Fasig Tipton. So, then I brought a University of Kentucky, funded by Lloyd's of London newsletter, that I believe you can get signed up for. And in this particular one to show you where research can take you in all these mysteries and whatever. Here's an article on Carinibacterium pseudotuberculosis, which is called pigeon fever. It's mostly out on the west and down the Texas belt. It's a contaminant in the soils and whatever. The horse develops abscesses, and they have a tendency to go
internal.
Both. External and internal, and internals are a problem. They can die. So the flies that get on the midline of the horses are contributors to penetration from the environment for the organism. And so they abscess mostly in their chest, so they become buxom-looking horses. Mm-hmm. And but it's a serious entity. And the point that Sharon Spear makes here, Dr. Spear, is it's spreading. It's a disorder, and it's associated with drought.
Ah.
So I thought that would be just a timely little thing to mention. Now, we talk about research. So I'll talk about Sharon a little bit. She's got a PhD, and she's on the faculty at the veterinary school at University of California. So she studied HYPP in quarter horses, which is the hyperkalemic high potassium syndrome that are genetically linked that causes them to collapse, and sometimes they'll die. Potassium gets too high. She developed a blood test for it, which would identify those horses. And so she wound up getting death threats. In comes the, you know, fanatical mysterious people had invested their money in the stallion that was an HYPP positive. And so now people weren't going to breed to him, you know. And people bred to him anyway.
Yeah.
I think I told you the story of seeing that yearling down in Oklahoma that was HYPP positive, and they wanted to make sure it wasn't a wobbler. So I didn't think it was a wobbler, but anyway. I said, well, if she's HYPP positive, what's the point? You know, as far as breeding prospect, you know, we don't want to breed those. Oh, yes, we do. You know, Dr. Spear figured out this blood test so we can identify them, and this farm only has HYPP horses. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, you know, this is gone crazy.
Yeah.
And so Sharon's in the middle of all of this stuff. She goes from people, you know, claiming they're going to lose their fortunes because of her, to being a hero because now they can find out which ones they want to buy.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget having this conversation with veterinarian Charlie McAllister and Becky McConico at Oklahoma State University about this year. So, well, why are we doing this? Because they win.
The halter classes.
Yeah. You know, and it takes like a mega leap to the judges, to the show, into, you know, the powers to be. So it's in there. Now, you can treat that disease, but it just, for those of us that would call ourselves horsemen, you just shake your head.
Yeah.
So anyway, this little publication has articles in it by very heavy hitters. You got Dr. Spear, you got Jim Belknap on laminitis, got some information on melanomas. Mm-hmm. And now they're talking about Doreen, which is a sexually transmitted venereal disease that's in Italy. Of course, keeping it out of the country is our main goal. So, I mean,
it'll show up here sooner or later.
It'll show up here sooner or later. But anyway,
then it'll be taken care of.
You can have that.
Well, thank you.
And then last thing, I guess we'll have to have a quiz.
Uh-oh.
And then I want you to see what you think of this.
What's that?
After your quiz, this piece of information. Talk.
Here. All right, talking while they read that. I don't know. I don't know what this is. Something from Pollock Report.
This is the Pollock Report was talking about the hearing. There's a hearing next Thursday in Washington at 2:30 on medication and performance enhancing drugs in horse racing. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have a hearing about it.
That's all we need is the government, then. And
somebody's got to do something about it.
Well, everything they do, they do so well.
We're not doing such a good job of it, and that's why everybody's got their nose in it now. I'll tell you something, though. Maggie Moss, in the new issue of the Thoroughbred Times, which is on biweekly, she had a really, really good story about how this whole debate about Lasix, misses the whole point because, the penalties for having an extra milligram of bute and giving them cobra venom is the same. Which is totally outrageous. So that's we'll get some information out of this anyway.
Let me take a little break here and I'll get back to you guys.
Okay.
Well, hip number 50 in Tuesday's sale at Fazy Tipton, Kentucky is by Mizzenmast, and hip number 192 is by First Defense. Take a good look at them. Because Mizzenmast sire runners and First Defense, with his grade one ability and superb pedigree, is going to sire runners. Mizzenmast is sire 3 grade one stakes winners, and he's the sire of 5 2012 stakes winners. Most recent stakes winner, Wicked Miz, winner of the Gopher Juan at Delaware. First Defense won the Grade 1 Forgo at Saratoga, 7 furlongs and 121-2. The Grade 3 Diaper at Belmont, 6 furlongs and 109-2. The Long Branch Breeders' Cup Stakes at Monmouth, around 2 turns, and sprinted 7 furlongs at Belmont and 120-4, and at Churchill, 122-1. Had brilliant speed, coupled with a pedigree loaded with classic stamina. He's won a 12 Grade 1 stakes winners by Unbridled Song, and he's out of Honest Lady, a grade one stakes winner by Seattle Slew. And Honest Lady is a half-sister to grade one stakes winner and grade one sire Empire Maker, Todd Bodemeister, and other superior runner. So take a good look at yearlings by Mizzenmast and First Defense at the sales. They stand at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke, Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. I want to say something about my friend Tom Biederman, Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneers. I know of 2 farms that he sold just to you recently, and if you list with him, chances are he's going to do a better job of selling than anybody else around here. First of all, he's a great guy to do business with, and secondly, he gets the job done. He's got great people working for him, and Reggie Bushell and Joel Brown and Mike Morrison, Jonathan Knoll, Ryan Teeter, Blake Ferguson, Brad Knoll, Joe Klebs. Steve Wilcox, Joan Rich. Boy, that firm's grown. I remember when it was just he and Reggie, when they first started out. And they're growing because they're the best at what they do. And they've got great listings and a great website. And go to his website. It's BiederManBrokerage.com, BIEDERMAN, Brokerage.com. And his number is 277-2030. So if you got something that you want to sell, or if you're looking for a property, he's got them all over and all price range, and he'll make sure that you get the best deal possible. BiedemanBrokerage.com, Tom Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneers. Well, Crestwood Farm, it's a family operation, has been for years, and that can be important to you for any number of reasons. First of all, they treat their clients just like family, and many of their clients have been with them for years. And they have raised a long list of superior runners at Crestwood. No substitute for experience. They've been around a while. They know how to raise a good horse, and they have. Then there's the fact that at Crestwood, the management's there 24 hours a day, bet on call at all times. They also offer, besides boarding, a wide variety of services, sales prep, sales both public and private, representation at sales, appraisals, pedigree research, confirmation, analysis, portfolio management, insurance, I don't believe I've left anything out. I don't think there's anything else he can do, to tell you the truth. And anyway, Crestwood is also the home of the Stallions, Kipling and Mutata, No Biz Like Showbiz, Noble Causeway, Tis Deja Vu. Phone number over at Crestwood Farm, 252-2720. And give Pope McLean a call. Check the website at crestwoodfarm.com. All right. Doc, I'm going to get back with you. I don't want to argue with Michael about whether we should do Lasix or not, just because it helps the horse, you know.
I'm not arguing Lasix. I'm saying that Lasix is a red herring because there's more important drug issues in racing.
We needed to recognize the difference between medication and drugs.
Right.
You know, we know the clobazam is a drug. We know it's illicit.
Yeah.
We know when you get caught with any of these other...
that you're cheating.
Yeah. You know, you're cheating. And Lasix, to the best of our ability, is a medication for what this horse does for a living. Mm-hmm. And so we don't recognize cheating. But, you know, it's going to that upper level, and
frustrating, isn't it?
It is frustrating because if they recognized the difference between medication and drugs, then they would say there is the potential or the door is open to help the horse. Mm-hmm. And if they get rid of Lasix, they've slammed the door.
Yeah.
They really have.
We'll see what happens. It'll be interesting to watch. I hope it's going to be on TV.
Who?
It might be on TV. They might put it on C-SPAN on Thursday. Thursday at 2:30.
Yeah, all those experts up there.
Well,
yeah.
I think there are going to be some experts testifying.
We had a quiz.
Yeah, what was your quiz, Doc?
Yeah.
I just flunked it, probably.
we may have mentioned this stuff before, but you go out, or I went out, and I looked at a mare, and she's in distress, and her flank is jumping at 80 respirations a minute, but they're involuntary. And her heart rate is 80.
Heart rate's 80?
80. She's got a foal at her side. And she doesn't look bad. But, so, we've talked about hiccuping in horses. So, Michael, what's going on?
I don't know, but I just call Dr. Byers and find out. I got his number in my phone. So you find out the answer.
I would guess heat, but
well, the heat and stress and the foal have drained the calcium out of her.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So in the horse, calcium is very important to the strength of the heart muscle. So now her heart is dilated because it's weak, and so it stretches, and so she has a nerve that comes off her diaphragm and goes right next to her heart called the phrenic nerve, and now the heart is bumping that nerve, so she hiccups at 80 per minute, like her heart is 80 per minute. So,
well, you didn't tell me about the hiccup. I wouldn't have guessed heat. Go ahead.
Well, so she needs, the labs were closed on the day that I looked at the mare. I said, well, you can get a lab sample if you want, but it's academic. She needs calcium.
Yes.
So, Dr. John Cummins is, veterinary assistant came over and gave calcium, and it's just like an antidote. Mm-hmm. Boom, she's normal. Yep. So they added alfalfa hay to her and did some heat management where she would only go out at night and that sort of thing. She'll be fine. She'll be fine. Yeah. But, I mean, if you see that thumping motion, and it happens at the racetrack, and so we call them thumpers, but it's the actual diagnosis is synchronous diaphragmatic flutter.
That's what I always called it.
Yep. Or blown, Michael blown in the wind.
Okay.
We'll remember that.
That's more accurate, probably.
Nice, huh?
Okay, Doc.
Okay.
All right. Loser of the week?
Loser of the week. Mammoth Park today. A lot of great racing at Mammoth Park today. Short field in the Mammoth Cup. It's grade two. And, you know, it's obvious that probably that flat out and rule are going to be the favorites. But there's a lot of speed in the race, and it's a short field. There are only six entries. But the longest shot in the race is a horse named Cactus Charlie. Mm-hmm. Cactus Charlie's 15-1 on the morning line.
Cactus Reed, didn't he?
Out of, no.
What's
not for love.
But not for love. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not Maryland, for love, Maryland out bread. Of a black tie affair mare.
Oh, hot damn.
This is the key to the thing here. Well, anyway, it's a race full of speed.
I can see right now this is a scientific pick.
Well, black tie affair was, of course, one of my favorites at Old Friends. So.
Yeah, mine
I'm
too.
A little biased.
Mine too.
It's thrown my handicapping way off, as you can tell.
Black tie affair would be...
Willing for it, huh?
That newsletter.
Oh.
There's an article in there on the progress of where we're at with melanomas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, I mean.
You get it.
Dr. Bryce is making reference to that, of course, because Black Tie Affair, like a lot of these older gray horses, suffered from melanomas.
Yeah.
But anyway, here's one of his offspring here, who's going to Cactus Charlie, who, as I say, is 15-1, being ridden by Shannon Usky, finished third in the skip away. After a six-month layoff, and is coming back to a good race, I think, and should be able to sit last most of the way around, and then, you know, plod home when some of the speed's backing up and make the. Hey, my pick of the week, my loser of the week, finished third last time, and the trifecta paid $214.
Hey, how about that? You people pay attention out there.
I'm telling you, we can't pick winners, but we sure know how to find the losers.
Did you bet it?
Yes.
Okay.
Well. I just got stopped by. I got a great compliment the other day from Jim Williams, the simulcast manager at Keeneland, because I bet a 10-cent superfecta. The ticket cost me $3.60, and the payoff was $1,100.
Oh my goodness!
I said the king of the cheap 10-cent superfecta.
Somebody was telling me about that. Oh, yeah, Charlie McDaniels.
You
went out there.
Yes, I Charlie.
He said, huh?
Yeah.
He says he stood behind in the line all the time. He knew what you know how you bet those things.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I said, yes, yeah, he's not going to invest a whole lot.
I don't have a lot to invest.
There you go.
But Diane likes it when I do this because I come home and I give her a little bit of money, and then she can't wait to get me out the door again to go to the racetrack. So most wives are going, want their husbands to run errands on Saturday and do this, that, and the other. She's going, are you going to the track today? I'm going, thank you, dear. Fabulous. What a relationship.
Going
today? Yes.
Going today. Yeah. All right, my friend.
Cactus Charlie.
No, Cactus Charlie.
In the Mammoth Cup.
In the Mammoth Cup. Oh, look in there. When did Flat Out start last? He's been laying off for a while.
Yeah, he's been off for a while.
Yeah.
Rosie Naprovnik's off all her mounts in New York. She's gone to Mammoth to ride for Billy Mott.
Okay.
Flat Out's been off since February 11th. Finished. Okay. Fourth, but in the Don Handicap, those are Mission Impassable. Hymnbook won that race. So, you know, Flat Out's been running against Havoc Race, Flat Out, Drosselmeyer, Wise Dan. I mean, met the iron.
He trained here, you know, Flat Out.
Oh, did he?
Oh, yeah. I clocked him many times.
Wow.
Yeah, he trained here. We've had a lot of
horses. Certainly moved up in the world, hasn't he?
Hey,
what are you talking about?
He's earned $1.3 million.
Huh?
He's earned $1.3 million.
We've got a horse here right now that's training right here now. It's won over $1 million.
Oh yeah, who's that?
Rahi Strada.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, he's over $1 million now.
That's fabulous. Well,
Scooter Hughes has got him. He made his first start in a while just the other day at Colonial Downs in a big stake up there, ran third. I think he got $50,000 something for running third in it. He's nice. A dead game horse.
Yeah, he is. He really is a great horse.
And that put him just over $1 million in earnings.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, see, it's all your clocking.
Yeah, well, no, but there's been a lot of good horses.
I know.
Two Oaks winners have trained out here.
No, yeah. I didn't mean to disparage the training center. Well, I don't want it to be misinterpreted. But you know, there's not too many horses here today that are going to run it today at Monmouth in the grade two. That's all I'm saying. And Flat Out's one of them, and I'm glad he trained here. That's probably why he's been so successful.
No, he's trying to make up for that disparaging remark. Yeah.
I didn't make it disparaging.
Yeah, you did.
It was completely and utterly misinterpreted, as usual, by the host of this program.
Moving right along.
I wonder if before I leave, I add a little footnote to my comments on the Grayson Foundation. A lot of people know how involved we are in this Equine Health and Welfare Alliance. Well, the purpose of that alliance is to developing sustained funding. And so organizations like Grayson would be on the receiving end. Certified retirement farms will be on the receiving end. Mm-hmm. But we just don't have monies. We don't have systems that sustain the funds.
Yeah. Now, you're going to be here next week for sure, Doc, because I've got Ed Fallon coming.
You got Ed coming. Yep.
Ted Bates is coming.
Yep.
And I figured it up mathematically, and I had to get a computer to do it.
Yeah.
Between the three of us, there's going to be over 300 years. Three of us and you. You're the young one now. We'll make you feel good. There's going to be over 300 years of BS coming over the air next week.
You could blow the whole airwaves.
Okay. Doc, thanks.
They might need to get an emergency warning.
Okay. Hey, we've got Holly over here now. She's she takes care of us old folks, you know. Oh, you mean on the airway?
Yeah, it'd be like a weather warning or something like that. Or, you know, okay, Ed Fallon has arrived.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we got to talking, you know, and we're almost about the same age.
Uh-huh.
And except for you're the young one. And Ed started out, grew up on Beaumont Farm, Al Price Healy. I grew up on Dixiana. And Ted, first experience, I think, in the business was Calumet. So that's three of the old-time farms there, you know.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So we ought to have some fun.
Well, you know, and just talking about Dr. Haggard, Dr. McGee.
I knew Dr. Charlie was great. He did my dad's work, you know.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And then when he finally eased out, Ed took over and did it. Dad's work at Dixiana. So,
well,
Dr. Charlie was fun.
Dr. Davidson, he was wonderful.
Oh, they all three were.
Yeah.
Dr. McGee.
And I have a Twitch story. Dr. Davidson made me a hickory Twitch, and he had Dr. Byers that he put on the brass part.
Oh, okay.
And I said, I don't want this Twitch. I said, because it doesn't say anything about you.
Yeah.
And I wanted people to know that if I used it, that Dr. Davidson would give it to me. So anyway, he took it back, brought it back, and had AHD. He's too humble, though.
I love what he named his farm over on Physical Bank. While you're here, farm.
Yeah, while you're here.
Yeah, Doc, while you're here, will you look at this?
Yeah.
All right, well, DeSizzle, a 3-year-old colt from the first crop by Jazzle, won the feature on June 29 at Churchill Downs, $62,500 allowance optional. It was his third win and just his second start on grass, coming off a third in a similar race at Churchill. He also set the pace to finish fifth in stakes at Turfway last January. Other recent first crop runners by Jazzle include Najjar, allowance winner at Oaklawn and placed in the $125,000 Arlington Classic. Perdido Pass, winner of a maiden special at Presque Isle and then fourth in the Grade 3 debutante at Churchill on June 23rd. Allowance winner Fahan, who has run fourth in stakes. And Until You, impressive winner in his first to start in a maiden special out at Hollywood Park. So Dazzle signed runners that are winning and competing in top company. And remember, Dazzle was at his peak as a three-year-old when he won the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes going a mile and a half. One of the best bred young sires in the world, Dazzle, by seeking gold at a broodmare of the year, Better Than Honor. Dammit, two winners of the Belmont Stakes and the daughter of Deputy Minister. Stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquires to stallion manager Kent Barnes. See the website at ShadwellFarm.com. Quillen Leather and Tack in Paris, Kentucky is the tack shop in Kentucky and probably in the country. I think they probably sell more halters and close to 20,000 halters a year, and they ship them all over the world. They do great work, great work. And it's a great tack shop. You go in there and, you know, you can get track halters and turnout halters or weanling halters or halters or fold halters during the season, whatever. And they've got an expanded shop over there where they it's a gift shop, and it's great. They've got tours that come by, and it's a wonderful place to go. They're right there in Paris. So drop by and see them. They're, if you go coming in from Lexington, you go to the Third Light, and it's, you're right there. You can't miss it. And stop in and see them. It's a lovely place to go into. It's they've got nice people working there, so you feel right at home the minute you walk in the door. It's right there on, in Paris, Kentucky, as I say, going in the main street there, just the Lexington Road. It's on the Third Light on your left. Can't miss it. Quillen Leather and Tack, that's my good friend, Ralph Quillen. But June 27 at Belmont, the track Barron Stakes was won by Shanghai Bobby, a two-year-old colt by Harlan's Holiday. June 30 at Arlington, the Grade 3 Chicago Handicap went to Kitty Natizzi, a mare by Tisnow. And that same day, some of the parts, a three-year-old colt by Sprightstown, won the $400,000 Red Legend Stakes. Shanghai Bobby is 2 for 2. Won his first time out by 4 at Aqueduct, then missed the track record by just 3/5 of a second in the track Barron. He's the 7th 2012 stakes winner by Harlan's Holiday. Kitty Natizzi, a $260,000 sales yearling, placed in graded stakes last year in the Grade 3 Chicago, was just her second start of the year. Her great sire, Tisnow, is a top 10 sire again in 2012. Some of the parts, stakes placed at 2 last year, is 3 for 3 in 2012. And the Red Legend was his second straight stakes win. $400,000 pot, incidentally. His sire, Sprightstown, is also a top 10 sire this year. Then on July 1 in France, Aesop's Fables, a three-year-old colt by Distorted Humor, won the Group 1 Prix Jean Prat. Harlan's Holiday, Tisnow, Sprightstown, and Distorted Humor stand at Windstar Farm. So if you want a runner in your racing stable, look first to the yearlings by Stallion standing at Windstar, home of 3 of the top 10 sires on the North American sire list. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy or Jenny Barnett, and see the website at windstarfarm.com. All right, you want to do something now?
Sure, I can do that.
What are you going to do?
Go to the car and turn on the air conditioning.
You're looking for your...
The green book. Here it comes.
The green book.
What's going on today? People are staying in and hiding because of the heat, but tomorrow's supposed to be better. They're still going out at the horse park, though. Right now, it's the Robert Murphy show. It goes today and tomorrow. Today is the last day of the Bluegrass Morgan Classic. And they're having something called the Mini Julep Cup, which I could not find out what it was. I think that there's, I don't know about their webpage because I keep clicking on things and I don't get anything. But there you are. Briarfest, let's see, next, 7/13 through the 15th, that's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Champagne Run Horse Show at the Horse Park. And the week after that is Briarfest. July 20th through the 22nd. Cross Country Schooling is July the 28th. Briarfest is, of course, the annual model horse collector festival and horse fair. And it's wonderful. That's the biggest thing they have all year. I guess bigger than WEG. They have more people come for that from all over the country than any other event. Oh, Thoroughbred Farm Managers Club next membership meeting is Wednesday, the 18th. Is that a week from this Wednesday? Yes. Because, you know, next Friday is Friday the 13th. The guest speaker is Corey Johnson. Evening topic will be success, comma, legislation, comma, and future of instant racing. Corey Johnson's president of the Kentucky Downs. Down in Franklin, they run a short meet and a really successful one. So, anyway, registration 6:15. It's at the Red Mile. You have to RSVP by Friday the 13th. And it's always a good time. Get to see people and so on.
But Tiz now shot another Grade of Stakes winner last weekend when Kitty Natizzi won the Grade 3 Chicago Handicap at Arlington. Tiz now is a top 10 sire this year. Tiz Wonderful is the most precocious son of Tiz now. He was undefeated, too, winning his first start at Saratoga by 12.5. And he went to Churchill and won the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes and the Grade 3 Iroquois. First foals of two-year-olds and his first winner won her first start in a maiden special at, where else, Churchill Downs. There are 7 Tiz Wonderful yearlings in Tuesday's sale at Fasig Tipton, and they are certainly worthy of your attention. There are also 2 youngsters in the sale by the multiple graded stakes winner Notional, both colts, and 6 by Malibu Moon, 4 colts, 2 fillies. Notional, by the sire of Indian Charlie, won graded stakes at Santa Anita, the fairgrounds in Monmouth Park, went 2nd to Scat Daddy in the Grade 1 Florida Derby. Elite sire Malibu Moon annually ranks among the nation's leading sires. Easy to find his name on the sire list. Just start at the top. For more information about the Spendthrift Farm Stallions, call Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Phil, and Ed Toffee, 294-0030, and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at FirstNet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts. The only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
Well, Michael Blowen, a little bit earlier in the show, was talking about how nice Steve Anderson over at Equine Savings has been to him over there. And Equine Savings is an organization you should get to know. It's a program. It's easy to use. It saves you up to 28% on top commercial mowing equipment like Toro and Exmark. And I'll give you the numbers of where to get in touch with them in just a second. But it doesn't cost you anything to join. It's free, and they give back to the industry. They donate money to the thoroughbred owners and breeders. Kentucky, of course, and it's a great organization. Like I say, they didn't save you money, like 28% off on Toro and Exmark commercial mowing equipment, also on Farm Paint. It's Farm Paint company. It's over here on, it's the name of the company is Farm Paint anyway, but go to their website, farmpaint.com, and a lot of the top farms are using that, such as Windstar and Judmont, Arbico Organic Pest Control, Commonwealth Technology, a whole lot of things they've got where you can save money. And it's here's how you get in touch with them. It's a local number, a Georgetown number, area code 502 in Georgetown, 863-6000, or toll free, you can go to 877-905-0004. Or, of course, you can go to the website equinesavings.com. Now, it's locally owned, and like I say, it gives back to the industry, and it's just simple as it can be for everybody. No coupons, no hassles, just join up and you save money. Those numbers, one more time, and they answer the phone 7 days a week. It's 502-863-6000, 877-905-0004, or the website equinesavings.com. And that's Steve Anderson, great guy.
Park, the Farmhouse Restaurant. It's open Wednesday through Sunday for breakfast and lunch, 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. And they have a garden, the Governor's Garden, and they do that produce right there and serve it up. And as I said, cross-country schooling day, July 28th. What's bring your horse to ride on the world-famous cross-country course. Whew, it's so hot.
I don't think so.
I told you about the Bluegrass Morgan.
Yeah, there's one down there.
Classic. And today and tomorrow will be the end of Robert Murphy Hunter Jumper.
Take that off. It's too hot.
Let's see. So Hats Off Day is coming up. It's in August, isn't it? I can't remember. August 4th. Saturday, August 4th. Hats Off Day at the Horse Park. Salutes Kentucky horse industry. If you would contribute to the occasion, if you've got farm hats with the farm name on it or John Deere or whatever, they'd appreciate get a hold of somebody out at Rude and Riddle. Okay, July 8th. When's that? Is that tomorrow? I'll tell you what, I'm melting. tomorrow is the first of two Antebellum Farm MSEDA sanctioned and KDA approved open combined tests and dressage show. She's out on Arnolton. And, of course, I'm talking about Nancy Newton. It's her place, her show. And give her a call if you're interested. A lot of good stuff. It's not too highfalutin, but they've got a lot of good classes. So it's 253-1839. Central Kentucky Riding for Hope is looking for volunteers. Next week is Bally High Education Boot Camp for the Serious Competitor. That's the July 9th through the 13th. That is at Joyce Brinsfield's Bally High. It's real close to Versailles off 33. You go down the Bluegrass Parkway, get off, turn left, and go down a tiny little bit, and turn left. There it is. Her number is 948-2632. That's pretty much what I've got before I melt. Oh, of course, Summer Bird Dressage at Masterson every Wednesday through the summer. Get a hold of Julie Congleton if you're interested, or Shelly Ryan, 224-3411. And if your trailer needs repair and you want somebody to do it right, go to Sally Van. Everybody at Sally Van. Where else would you go? I mean, that's just about as go to place.
I think they used to make their own vans over there. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, ran into Bobby Maxwell the other day.
Did you?
Yeah. Bobby,
what did he allow?
He started, his family started, well, no, they bought Sally's out.
Yeah.
But I remember when they had their first started out, they were over off Versailles Road behind a gas station over there. Steve Casey over here in my, that's before your time, Steve. You remember that? Do you really? Well, Bobby looked real good. They were over at Windy Corners. Stopped in there for something.
Oh, okay.
You and I went in there for lunch one day. Remember?
Oh, that's right. I do remember.
Yeah.
I'm melting. Yeah. I went to college with a girl named Sally. Wild as a buck. Boy, she was wild. We weren't real close.
I hope she wasn't close to Bobby. All righty. Well, Uptown Birdie, a 3-year-old filly by More Than Ready, bred by Richard Bertram and Elaine Klein, and won the Grade 3 $200,000 Iowa Oaks last Saturday. Winner of a previous start at Churchill Downs, Uptown Birdie won the Iowa Oaks by 2.25 lengths to run her record to 3 wins and 3 seconds and just in 6 starts this year. She is the 101st stakes winner by More Than Ready. Internationally respected, More Than Ready is ranked number 1 on the juvenile sire list in this country, 5th on the general sire list in the USA. More Than Ready stands at Vinery, Kentucky, a farm with state-of-the-art facilities also in New York and Florida. The staff at Vinery is well-equipped to handle your needs from the breeding shed to the winter circle. And if you're undecided where to have your purchases at the yearling sales broken, call Vinery at 455-9388. Ask for John Gasper or Steve Casanola, Francis Relihan, or Grant Williamson. They can supply you with a long list of high-class runners that receive their early lessons right at Vinery. The number again, 455-9388. Check the website at vinery.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, as about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs.
The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
From the Toyota of Nicholasville studio, this is WLXG Lexington, ESPN, Sports Radio 1300.
Toyota Nicholasville, where price sells cars.
The Airdrie Stallions, Brother Derek, Divine Park, including Proud Citizen, and Stevie Wonder Boy, represented by Yearlings and Tuesday Sale out at Fazy Tipton. Brother Derek won Grade 1 stakes at 2 and 3 and earned more than $1,611,000. Divine Park won 6 of his 9 starts, including the Grade 1 Metropolitan, Grade 3 Withers, and a Grade 3 Westchester. He is one of 28 stakes winners from 3 crops sired by the Grade 1 winner Chester House, a half-brother to the top sire Empire Maker. Divine Park ran a mile and won 32 and 3 to take the Winchester. Include Proud Citizen, both the sires of Grade 1 stakes winners this year. In fact, Proud Citizen has sired his second winner of the Classic Kentucky Oaks. Stevie Wonderboy was voted champion 2-year-old after he won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile and the Grade 2 Del Mar Futurity, earned more than $1 million. He is the sire of Hollywood Park stakes winner and Grade 2 place Made to Love, California stakes winner Run Stevie Run, graded stakes place Katie Get Excited, and graded stakes place Starship Flair in his first crop. Brother Derek, Divine Park, Include, Proud Citizen, Stevie Wonderboy, Art, Mr. and Mrs. Bird, and C. Jones, Airdrie Stud. Check the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
I'm heading down the highway, happy dear friend,
no time. All righty, well, we're starting the second hour of the show right now, and I've got Steve Casey with me. Steve's been training out here for a number of years back. Steve, I think a long time ago I had you on the show. Came down and taped one with you, I believe.
Yes, Steve.
You remember that?
Yeah, I was over there. I was in Barn 13.
Had to get out of Barn 13. That was that was bad luck. Steve has been around quite a while, and he's training his own right now, and he was affiliated for many years with Barbara Hunter. What was the name of her farm again?
Brownwood.
Brownwood, I should know that. Yeah. And you used to break yearlings and everything with Barbara, didn't you?
I broke her yearlings for 20-something years.
Yeah. She raised a lot of good horses.
Oh, yeah. I broke Old Topper and Curtana and Snowtop Mountain. I mean, those were all very, very nice horses.
Yeah, you used to train a bunch of them for her.
Yes, I legged up the two-year-olds and, you know, the layups. And the ones that didn't go to California or Florida or somewhere, then I'd race around here.
Yeah, and you got some of them, what, to get them ready to stand? Was it Stanley Reeser that trained them?
Well, Steve was training when I started. Stanley had already retired from training.
Oh, okay. It was Steve's his son.
Yeah. Stanley was training when I used to break at the farm. And,
now, she had quarter horses, too, didn't she?
Oh, yeah. She had those reining horses.
Reining horses?
Yeah.
Did you ride them?
No. Mm-mm. There was a guy in Ohio, I can't remember his name now, that she used to send him to him to break.
Mm-hmm.
And his daughter, she took over after he retired. She did that for years. She used to have a lot of reining horses.
Yeah. Just because where would she compete reining, you know? I mean,
all over. I mean, she had some really good ones that went to Oklahoma, Texas, and stuff. To the big shows.
Yeah. Well, she raised a lot of thoroughbreds that were good, too.
Oh, yeah.
One stakes at Keeneland, I remember seeing some of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's just raised a lot of really nice horses. Now, Brownwood's out in Nicholasville Road, isn't it?
Harrodsburg Road.
Harrodsburg Road, right?
Right past the church, the Southland Christian Church.
Okay. Don't know much about churches.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's kind of in the middle of town now. It's a nice big farm in the middle of the...
Is that right?
There's... church on one side, a subdivision on the other, and a golf course on the other. I mean,
oh, my goodness. That's just, what's the golf course out there?
I don't know what that thing's called.
Obviously not a golfer.
No. No, I'm not a golfer.
Didn't Al Polk have a farm out there before?
Yeah, it was right across the road there. Yeah. A Riskany farm. I guess Drama Land now or something.
Dramola?
Yeah.
No, not Dramola. It's out on Spur Road.
Yeah. Actually, I broke earlings there as well. When I was younger and felt like getting on a lot of horses, I used to make my rounds and go from one farm to the other.
Yeah. Where are you from originally, Steve?
Jessamine County.
Oh, well, hell, you were right at home then.
Yeah. Actually, the farm I grew up on, TaylorMade has now.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Was it a horse farm then?
No, it was just cattle farm, tobacco. Yeah.
Does your family have horses?
No.
Yeah. How'd you get interested?
I was a little bitty guy, and I thought I wanted to be a race rider. That's how it happened.
Well, you just don't. You don't walk in a racetrack one day and say, hey, I want to be a race rider.
No. 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 I started out working at Calumet.
Oh, did
when
you?
When I was about 17.
Who was manager then?
Melvin Cinnamon.
Oh, Melvin. What a nice guy Melvin was, yeah.
Ewell Rice ran the training barn.
Yeah.
And that's where I learned to gallop horses.
Under Ewell?
Mm-hmm.
Had you ever got on horses before?
Well, just ponies at the farm. Never. Yeah.
So he taught you?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he was there a long time.
Oh, yeah.
I had him on the show many, many moons ago, too. He's gone now.
Yes.
Yeah,
he went to Claiborne after Miss Markey passed away. And, and then he went to Claiborne, I think. He broke the yearlings out there.
Is that right?
Yeah. Was in charge of that.
Yeah. Was Ted Bates out there when you were?
No.
He came on after you.
No, I believe that must have been before me.
Before you?
I believe.
Yeah, he's coming on show next week, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
He's a nice guy.
Oh, yeah, he is. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I just have nice people on here.
Yeah.
when you were out there...
The broodmare foreman at the time I was there was... ran Three Chimneys. What's his name? He's retired now. He ran Three Chimneys for years. Dan Rosenberg.
Oh, Dan.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was the broodmare foreman.
Okay.
At Calumet.
Yeah, well, he became the big wheel out there, you know, and then he retired. And I've had Dan on, too, by the way. Yes, hell, I've had all you guys on. Now, who was it stood when you went out there, or you were out there?
Reverse, Tim Tam, Forward Pass. Mm-hmm.
Did they gallop their stud horses?
No, not at that time.
I wonder if they do. Yeah. Well, I don't know. They're just tired of new owners out there now.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing out there. They had Cactus Ridge out there, but I don't know if he's still there or not.
I don't know.
I don't know what they're doing out there now. Well, there's a lot of good horses come out of there.
Gosh. It's that old training barn there. I mean, when you think of the horses that were in it. That's pretty amazing.
It's been in the movies.
Yeah.
It was in the, they used it in the Seabiscuit movie.
Yes.
That's where War Admiral was trained. Remember that? Did you see that movie?
Yes.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you started galloping horses there, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Then you did go on a racetrack. You used to ride races.
Yes. I rode for a little while.
Did you? Where'd you start riding?
Well, actually, I rode my first couple of races at Kingland.
Well, that's a pretty good track.
Yeah, it's, you know, not that I win them, but I rode it there.
You remember your first race, first mount?
Yeah, it was for John Paul Puchek.
Is that right? I didn't know he'd been around that long.
Yeah, well, he had just pretty much started training horses at the time.
Yeah, he's here now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I swear. In fact, you just won a race the other day, and so did John Paul.
Yeah.
In fact, you beat him. I don't know if you're in the same race or not, but you beat him to the winner's circle. Let's put it that way. Yeah. Well, I swear, John Paul. Do you remember your first winner?
Yes. It was a filly called Elegant Imp for Tommy Upton.
Where was that now?
Latonia.
The old Latonia.
Yeah. It was before it was Turfway.
Before it was Turfway.
And Actually, I win my first race as a rider at Latonia, and then my first race as a trainer at Latonia.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Did you travel, or did you when you trained?
Not a lot. You know, I used to stable at Ellis, and I stabled at River some, but that's pretty much it.
Uh-huh. Did you stable at Latonia?
Yes. And Latonia and Turfway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who were you training for then?
Oh, William E. Haynes. That's pretty much who put me in business as far as a trainer. That's who gave me my first string of horses.
Okay.
I was galloping horses for Stanley Haynes, which was his son.
Yeah.
And then he decided to go into the real estate business and get out of horse training and
make money that way.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. And so they put me in business.
Yeah. So how many horses do you have here?
We used to carry about 8 or 10.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you ride your own, or I know you gallop your own now.
Yeah.
As that goes.
Yeah, I pretty much always galloped my own.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a big advantage, isn't it?
Well, I think so. I mean, for a person like me, I've never really learned how to stand on that rail and watch everything I need to watch. You know, and as far, you know, getting on them, I seem to get a little better feel.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, there's a whole lot, you can feel something before you can see it a lot of times.
Yeah.
And not that I would know. I'm chicken. I'm not going to get on one of these things. Let me take a little break and I'll get back to you.
Okay.
Well, Eddington, Flatter, and Warfront were represented by Stakes Winners last weekend. Eddington is the sire of Brushed by a Star, winner of the $100,000 Iowa Distaff. Bred in Kentucky by Desmond Ryan, Barry Donworth, and Ken Donworth. Brushed by a Star won an allowance race at Churchill in a previous start. She's the fourth 2012 stakes winner by Eddington, the list that includes the Grade 2 stakes winner, Secret Circle. Flatter is the sire of 5 2012 stakes winners. Here's Lucy's Bob Boy, winner of the Corn Collection Stakes, has posted 4 wins and 2 seconds from 6 starts. And that same day, Catch a Thief by Flatter, winner earlier this year of stakes in New York, ran second in the Grade 3 Bed of Roses. Warfront's 6 2012 stakes winner is Frontside, a Pennsylvania bred. She won $100,000 stakes up at Indiana Downs. She was stakes placed early this year at Gulfstream. Then on July 5 at Belmont, he sired his 7th 2012 stakes winner when the 3-year-old colt Dr. Chip sprinted 6 furlongs and 108-4 to win the Western Lark Stakes by 3 1/4 lengths. He's 3-for-3 this year. Among Warfront's 2012 stakes winners is the Grade 1 winner, Data Link. Eddington, Flatter, Warfront. Stand at Claiborne Farm and watch for yearlings by the Claiborne stands at the major auctions. For more information, contact Bernie Sams at Claiborne. See the website at claibornefarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, had been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Parrish. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
That said, Indian Creek has 3 nice yearlings selling Tuesday at Fazy Tipton. They're over in Barn 2F. That's 2F. They got a sensational filly that's a half-sister to a New York Stakes winner. That's My Magic Moment. Great family. An Orient colt out of a daughter of the Grade 2 Stakes winner, Call Now. It's the family of Cuvee and Patio Prado and other Grade 1 winners. And then there's a colt from the first crop by Cowboy Cowell, and they say this is a super nice colt. He's a half-brother to a stakes winner of over $314,000. So go see him over at Indian Creek in Barn 2F Tuesday. Go see him now, but they sell Tuesday out at Fazy Tipton. Well, Dunkirk is passing on his stunning confirmation, which helped make him a sales topping $3,700,000 yearling. His first foals are yearlings, and he's well represented in Tuesday's July sales at Fasig Tipton, a sale noted for its demanding confirmation requirements. And Dunkirk was a runner in one of the best three-year-olds of his year, won his first two starts by a combined 10.5 lengths, then went postward in what was just his third career start in the Grade 1 Florida Derby, and ran a sensational race to finish second to the top three-year-old Quality Road. Then, just weeks later, he finished second again, this time to Champion Summerbird in the Grade 1 Classic Belmont Stakes. Dunkirk has won Bridal Song, sire 14 Grade 1 Stakes winners, out of Millionaire Secret status, a daughter of APND, and winner of the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks and the Grade 1 Mother Goose. There are also yearlings in the sale by the Ashford Stallions, Majestic Warrior, Scat Daddy, Taylor the Cat, Thunder Gulch, and remember, five of the top 25 sires on the 2012 sire list are based at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. Leading sires, potential leading sires only at Coolmore. All righty, I'm talking to Steve Casey, who trains here at the Thoroughbred Center, and Steve's everything is got right now is homebreds, right, Steve?
Pretty much. Man.
That means you must have a farm somewhere.
I got a very small one. It's a Wilmore address. It's on 33 off of 68.
Okay. 33 off of 68.
Yeah, it cuts across the for sales, 33 does.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm closer to the Jessamine County. Well, I'm in Jessamine County.
Yeah. What's close to you there?
Bubba Snowden's farm's just a couple of miles up the road.
Okay. Yeah. He's right on a corner there.
Yeah, he's at the Y. Yeah, they call that.
Yeah. And you turn to the right.
Yeah. You go towards Harrodsburg, and then 33 cuts off of 68 before you start down to the river.
Yeah. Okay. So you've got some mares you own there.
I just won.
Down to one.
Yeah.
All these things that you're winning with right now, I know you're winning. You've won that Sluwater Slough. You've won three or four races.
Now, I bought her off of Miss Hunter.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But the other two that I have right now are out of my mare.
The same mare?
Mm-hmm.
One of them, I've got the name of that thing. Don't tell me. I've got it. I said I had it. I got the list of it because I plug you for winning. Now, when the hell did I do that list? Well, I got it. Oh, here it is, right here in front of me. Nasty Girl Blues.
Yes.
Did you name that one?
No, my wife did. Can't blame that on me.
If it was a cold one, they'd name it Nasty, which you name yeah. it Boy Blues.
We have a half brother to her, Sir Shackleton, at the house, who's ready to come up into training. His name is Half Nasty.
Half Nasty? Is he?
No, not so bad.
Not so bad. Nah.
But the mare's name, she was named when we bought her, and her name was Air Nasty. She's a Bates Motel mare.
Okay.
And so that's where the names come from.
Bates Motel. I haven't heard that name in a while. He started out still over at Gainesway, I believe, didn't he?
Yeah.
Where'd you get to mare?
Bought her out of Fasig Tipton.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. Okay. When she was, it was the January sale, like just turned two.
Yeah. Well, you're going to buy any more mares now? You know, if she's by Bates Motel, she's getting a little long in the tooth.
Yes, she is. And actually, the first three foals out of her are all winners. And the Nasty Girl Blue, she's won six. And the filly Baby Brown Eyes is out of her, too.
Is she?
And she's won a couple, and she's kind of one of those bridesmaid horses. She must have had 5 or 6 seconds, you know.
Yeah. Get your checks.
Yeah, she tries hard.
Yeah. Well, you've those three that you bred in, one of them you got from Barbara, but they've all won. How many total races now?
What, this year?
Well, no, total. Uh-oh. He's getting out the ad machine here.
Yeah. What do I mean, like?
15 to 20?
Right between the three horses?
The three of them, yeah.
Oh.
And you trained them all, as yeah. you know, yeah.
12.
12, well, that's pretty good. Three yeah. horses win. That's yeah. an average of 4 wins a horse.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. That's awful good when you figure third of the breed never wins.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But, well, you know, I remember you got on a real roll. Was it last fall or September at Turfway? Or
It was the winter before last at Turfway.
At Turfway.
Yeah. One of those one of those things.
Yeah, you were knocking them dead.
Yeah, I think I went 8 out of 12.
Yeah, I know. You're up there about 66%. Yeah. You know that's not going to keep
no,
up.
No, that don't last.
But you've always been a high-percentage trainer. You know, I keep up with you guys out here. And they're 5 or 6 of you guys out here that are high-percentage trainers, and you're one of them.
Well, I just try and take care of them and run them where they're competitive.
That's what you have to do.
You know, it's...
And like I say, you're working them yourself. And you believe in working them pretty quick, too.
If they want to.
That's a good answer. Yeah.
You know, I'm not real big on driving them and making them, but
yeah.
If they want to work fast, yeah.
Let them go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most of mine wanted to, but couldn't. We used to run them long because, hell, they weren't going to beat anybody going short. But this filly that you won with the other day, does she run long or does she?
No, she's a sprinter.
Yeah. What about Slewater Slew?
She sprints as well. Yeah. I've tried to. Well, actually, the one, the Nasty Girl Blues, I ran her long once and she was second, but I was a little disturbed by the horse that beat her. I just.
Yeah.
Thought she was should have been better than that.
Yeah.
So I never ran her long again.
What'd she do? Did she ever make the lead? Or?
Oh, yeah, she was in front, and the horse ran her down, and I just I'd just go back to sprinting and stay there.
Well, she went 4 races or whatever it takes, you know.
Yeah.
You going to run anything at Ellis?
Yeah, probably.
First is pretty good.
Yes, they are. They're great. It's just I was looking at the book a while ago, and I didn't see anything real interesting for me.
Yeah.
I've been racing at River Downs this summer. Got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. You got to say, like you say, you got to run where they win.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're just training for yourself right now, but I don't know if you would want to or not. You take outside horses?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sure would. I mean, it's always a plus to have pay horse in the barn.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm just training for myself is, well, I had horses of my own. And Miss Hunter, I mean, I trained for her for years.
That's what happens, yeah.
You know, and then when they quit training horses, I looked up one day and everything in the barn belonged to me. And I said,
Well, you say it's good to have pay horses, but your horses are picking up checks. That helps.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's the main reason I've been going to River Downs is to try and make sure we survive.
Have you got something coming up? You said you had a sister or a brother to Nasty Girl Blues.
Yeah.
What's he, a 2-year-old?
No, he's 3. Okay. I've got a yearling out of that mare as well.
What's that one by?
Parading.
Parading. Oh, okay.
And that's the best looking horse that she's had. I mean, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
He's a really good looking horse.
That stands down. That's his first crop.
Yeah, it's his first crop.
First crop.
Claver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
He's a pulpit horse.
Yeah, I know. And, you know.
He's out of a real good female family, too, that horse.
Is he?
Yeah, it's a Storm Flag Flying and all that bunch.
Oh, pulpit, yeah.
Yeah, no, the Parading.
Parading,
yeah. His mother, she's in that family somehow.
Yeah, do you like female families when you breed to her that way?
Or? Yeah. I like to have them.
Breed to young horses, or?
Yes, because I'm a poor person, and you hope you get lucky. You know, and you hope they hit, you know, right off. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Now, the one you bought, the Slew City Slew, now he's been a solid stud, you know.
Yes.
I believe he's still alive, isn't he? I know he's retired.
I don't know.
But Bury stood him for $5,000 for years and years and years and years. Mm-hmm. Of course, he had that thing out on the coast and win $1 million.
Oh, yeah, Lava Man.
Yeah. So, you see him on the TV?
As a pony?
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, he looked good, didn't he?
Yeah.
He looked better than the horse that was running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great that they're doing that with him.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is. Well, that's wonderful. Well, where can people get in touch with you? Right here at the training center?
Yeah, here at the training center. And I have a cell phone if you want to give it out.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's an 859-221-5730.
Okay. Oh, you know, always stop by the clocker stand here. I know where to find him. And I can direct you. And I'm here 5 days a week. get here about 5:30, and I'm here till about 9:30 now when the gate closes. And a lot of early workers now, so I have to get here early because, yeah. I had a worker here this morning before the damn lights came on. All right, Steve, I'm going to let you go, my friend.
Okay, thank you.
I appreciate you coming by.
Hope it didn't hurt your ratings, and we'll talk to you later.
You did fine. You can't hurt my ratings. They're probably both bitch, both my listeners. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, well, Dunkirk is passing on his, I think I just did that, didn't I? Yeah, got to go take care of the other Irishman on the other side of town. Hip number 50 in Tuesday's sale at Fazy Tipton, Kentucky is by Mizzen Mast, and hip number 192 is by First Defense. Take a good look, because Mizzen Mast sires runners and First Defense with his grade one ability and superb pedigree. He's going to sire runners. Mizzen Mast has sired 3 grade one stakes winners, and he's the sire of 5 2012 stakes winners. Most recent stakes winner, Wicked Miz, winner of the Gopher Juan at Delaware. First Defense won the grade 1 Forgo at Saratoga, 7 furlongs and 121-2. Won the grade 3 Jiper at Belmont, 6 furlongs and 9-2. Won the Long Branch Breeders' Cup Stakes at Monmouth around 2 turns. Sprinted 7 furlongs at Belmont, 120-4. And at Churchill, 122-2. So he had brilliant speed, and he has a pedigree loaded with classic stamina. He's won a 12 grade 1 stakes winners by Unbridled Song, and he's out of Honest Lady by a grade 1 stakes winner by Seattle Slough. And Honest Lady is a half-sister to the grade 1 stakes winner and grade 1 sire Empire Maker, sire Bodemeister, and other superior runners. So take a good look at yearlings by Mizzen Mast and First Defense at the sales. They stand at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke, Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Well, clients of McCauley Brothers, the first feed mill in the nation to produce products exclusively for the horse, bred the winners of 3 more graded stakes last weekend. Guy's Reward, winner of the Grade 2 Firecracker at Churchill Downs, was bred by Haymarket Farm. Mystical Star, winner of the Grade 2 New York Stakes at Belmont, was bred by Wayne Lister and Green Lantern Farm. And the Grade 3 Dominion Day Stakes at Woodbine was won by Hunter's Bay, bred by Adina Springs. In fact, the 1-3 finishers in the Dominion Day were bred by Adina Springs. Congratulations to all. In 2011, associates of McCauley Brothers raised the winners of 110 graded stakes, including 25 grade 1 individual grade 1 stakes winners, and they are well on their way to bettering that record in 2012. Now add the fact that the highest priced yearlings at both Keeneland and Saratoga last year were raised at on McCauley products. To join the winning team, call Mike Warren and David Longmire at 873-3333, and you're always welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers Wear. It's all about the horse. Well, my good friend Jim Fitzgerald over at Knott Griffin Farm, you feeling all right over there, Jackie?
I'm melting.
You're melting. Well, it ain't any cooler down at Knott Griffin Farm. I know, because that's... He just lives about a mile as a crow flies away from us, and it was hotter than a dickens when we left there this morning. But Jim's got a wonderful farm in Knott Griffin. Got another farm, far as that goes, Harper's Island, which is about 10 minutes away. And they do it all at Knott Griffin and Harper's Island, and boarding and sales prep, private sales, public sales, doesn't make any difference, rehab, quality farm help. He wouldn't tolerate anything but the best. He came up under the best. If you're thinking about getting into the horse business, or if you're in it and you're not too happy with the way things are going, well, give Jim a call. And he can just give you some good, sound, common sense advice, and he's somebody you can trust. That's Jim Fitzgerald at Knott Griffin Farm. And let me give you his phone number. It's 987-8032. It's an 859 number, of course, down in Bourbon County. And that was a farm number, wasn't it? I'm all confused. I want to give you his website number. It's Knott Griffin Farm. Stop laughing over there. It's hot. KNOCKGRIFFIN, Knott Griffin. .com, and that's Jim Fitzgerald. Now, Griffin's been there since 1994, so Jim did a little long in the tooth, didn't he? Jim Fitzgerald, nice guy.
Run, old Molly, run, run, old Molly, run. Kimball's gonna beat you to the bright shining sun, to the bright shining sun, old Lord.
All righty. Let me take care of the my good friend David Schweitzer at the KTA in Toba. And they like us to talk about the breeders of Kentucky Bred Stakes winners from the previous week, the weekend. Well, we'll also include the 4th of July Stakes. And we'll go with Churchill's Firecracker, Grade 2, $150,000. Winner was Guy's Reward. Bred in Kentucky by Haymarket Farm. The New York Stakes, Grade 2, up at Belmont Park, went to Mystical Star, bred by Wayne Lister, and the Green Lantern Stables. You got that fan right on me there. All right. The Dwyer Stakes, Grade 2, $200,000. Teeth of the Dog won that. That's a bluegrass cat bred by Royal Pegasus. In the next race that I'm looking at, the Iowa Derby, Grade 3, $250,000. Hanson, of course, won that. Shipped in to win that. Bred by Dr. Kendall Hanson. Won by 10 lengths. Boy, he went like going hunting, rabbit hunting with a bazooka there, weren't they? They see the Iowa Oaks, Grade 3, Uptown Birdie won that. That's a More Than Ready. What a nice stud horse he's been. Bertram Klein bred Uptown Birdie. She's a filly, a three-year-old filly, but More Than Ready. The Grade 3 Chicago Handicap, Kitty and a Tizzy won that. That's a Tiz now. Bred by Dr. Steve Jackson, Debbie Jackson, and the TNT Stud, which I think is a Brazilian outfit. Steve, how'd you get messed in with the Brazilian people? The Dominion Day, Grade 3, up at Woodbine. Hunter's Bay won that. Bred by Adina Springs in Kentucky. The Prairie Meadows Corn Husker, Grade 3, went to Fort Larned, bred by Janice Whittem. Let's see what else we have here. The Chesapeake Stakes at Colonial Downs. Warm Typhoon won that. Wired to Field, going, how far was it going? 6 furlongs and 107 and 4. That equal to track record. That's a Gilded Sun, a 6-year-old by Distorted Humor, bred by Domino Stud. Let's see. The Independence Day Stakes at Mountaineer went to Strike Impact, bred by Hermitage Farm up at Goshen, Kentucky. The Blue Sparkler Stakes, Maple Forest won that at Monmouth Park. Blue Haven Farm won that one. The Red Legend Stakes, $400,000 pot in Charlestown, a Hollywood casino, they call it. Some of the Parts won that. That's a Spitestown, a 3-year-old colt. And he was bred by Farfellow Farms. Let's see what else we have here. The Lake Charlestown Stakes, with Doe won that one. That was a Charlestown, also bred by Robert S. Evans. What else we have? The Roxalana Stakes, Salty Strike won that. That was at Churchill Downs, and it was bred by Craig Singer. And let's see, what else do we have here? The American Dreamer Stakes at Calder went to Empire Builder, bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. I thought that thing at Revelstoke, the Jimmy Cargan, one of the Firecracker Stakes down at Mountaineer, I thought that was a Kentucky bred, but maybe it wasn't. Anyway, Jimmy, I plugged you again. Revelstoke trains out here at the Thoroughbred Center by Jimmy Cargan. And on the 3rd of July, he went down and won a nice stakes race down there. In fact, there were two stakes down there. One of them shipped in from Kentucky from the training center. The other one shipped in from Kentucky at Churchill Downs. I think they hate to see shippers come in at it. Mountaineer. We've had a really good season down there so far this year. With Steve Casey, let me give you the winners from here, but while I'm at it, Steve Casey saddled the winner. This is this horse's train here. And since the last week's show, and there's been 10 winners, Steve Casey, Curvin Smith, Bobby Sturgeon, Paul Brown Jr. That's that nice filly, charming she is the name, belongs to a friend of mine, Lee Clark. Bought her privately, I believe it was. Kirvin Smith, trained a winner. Well, that's two. He won with, for Petey's sake, is Emmy Who. Kirvin, I had a horse one time test positive for nicotine, if you can believe it. And they finally figured out that that he had ingested a cut of tobacco out of the one of the stalls down in the receiving barn, Turfway Park. And I was fussing one day, and Kirvin happened to be around, and I was talking about the horse testing positive for nicotine. He said, nicotine, I never heard of that. I said, I had neither, you know, so I didn't know he smoked. And Kirvin said, well, how'd he run? I said, he won. He said, well, how much did you give him? That's Kirvin for you. Okay, Marco Castaneda won a race with Gemaru. He's won a bunch of races for that. I was talking to Marco the other day. I was looking up some horses that ran out in California, and I forget who it was now. But it was 1978, and it was an M. Castaneda that rode him. And I come to find out that was Marco's uncle. And Marco trains out here. Gets on a lot of horses also for Wayne Mackey. But he trains his own. He's got four, five, or six that he trains for himself. Tommy Short trained a winner on the 4th of July. John Paul Puchek and Eduardo Carramuri. So those are the recent winners out here. The trainers are the recent winners right out of here. Well, let's see. I want to do a set of commercials. I'm going to talk about a couple of the Hollywood winners of the Hollywood Gold Cup. Relatively new stake. We could have talked about the Suburban. I think you're running that. That's a low one. Well, anyway, Jazzle, 3-year-old from the first crop by Jazzle. Trains right out here, and incidentally, the horse got some gas. He won the feature June 29 at Churchill Downs. It was a $62,500 allowance optional. And it was his third win and just his second start on the grass, coming off a third in a similar race down at Churchill. He also set the pace to finish fifth in stakes up at Turfway last January. He wasn't beaten, but about two lengths for all of it. Other recent first crop runners by Jazzle include Najjar, allowance winner at Oakland, and then he placed in the $125,000 Arlington Classic. Perdido Pass, winner of a maiden special at Presque Isle. Then he ran fourth in the Grade 3 Debutante Stakes at Churchill on June 23rd. I should say she ran fourth. Allowance winner Farhan has also run fourth in stakes. And Until You was an impressive winner in his first start in a maiden special the other day out at Hollywood Park. So Jazzle starring runners that are winning and competing in top company. And remember, Jazzle was at his peak as a 3-year-old when he won the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes and are going a mile and a half. One of the best-bred young sires in the world, Jazzles, by Seeking Gold out of Broodmare of the Year, Better Than Honor. Damn it, two winners of the Belmont Stakes, and she's a daughter of Deputy Minister. Stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiry to Stallion Manager Ken Barnes. And see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at Prisnet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all-weather starts. The only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
There's 6 yearlings from the first crop by Colonel John consigned to next Tuesday's July sales at Facy Tips in Kentucky, and they're certainly worthy of your attention. Colonel John was a superior runner, Grade 1 performer, 2, 3, and 4. He won the historic Grade 1 Traverse Stakes. He won the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby. Won stakes on dirt, grass, artificial. Sprinted a mile in a brilliant 1:32.3. Earned more than $1,779,000. He is one of 9 Grade 1 winners by Hall of Famer Tisdale, who was represented by another stakes winner last Saturday when Kitty Natizzi won the Grade 3 Chicago Handicap in Arlington. Tisdale has led the juvenile sire list, and he's a top 10 sire again this year. In fact, he is one of 3 stallions now standing at Windstar Farm to rank among the top 10 on the North American sire list. That said, take a close look at yearlings by the Windstar Farm Stallions, Colonel John, Artie Schiller, Bellamy Road, Harlan's Holiday, and U.S. Ranger at Tuesday's sale out at Fazy Tipton. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy or Jenny Barnett, and see the website at windstarfarm.com.
The horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather is clear, can do, this guy says the horse.
All righty, well, Jackie's bailing out on me, Big Chicken. I think the heat's getting to her. have a good trip, dear, back home, leaving me all alone. Well, no, Ressie will hold my hand. All right. Okay, we're going to talk about, they're running a Hollywood Gold Cup today at Hollywood Park, of course. And they ran the first one in 1938, and a well-known horse named Seabiscuit won that. He was a five-year-old when he won it. Of course, he was by Hardtack. Hardtack, incidentally, stood down at Claiborne Farm when he sired Seabiscuit. The next year, 1939, Seabiscuit's stablemate, Kayak the Second, won it. Kayak was a four-year-old at the time. He was by Congreve. He was bred in Argentina. He was a champion handicap horse in this country. He raced for Charles S. Howard, of course, who also owned Seabiscuit. And he won the Hollywood Gold Cup under George Wolf, won by five over Cravat and Specify. He won 8 of his 11 starts as a four-year-old, 1 second, 1 third, and if my math is right, that just means just off the out of the money one time. Won his first 2 starts of the year at Santa Anita. Ralph Neves was riding him, and he ran 3rd in his 3rd start. It was one of his losses, incidentally. Ralph Neves was a guy that got hurt riding up in Northern California. And they hauled him off to the hospital and pronounced him dead. And obviously wasn't, because he got up and went back out and rode the last race that day. So Paul Harvey did something about that one time, one of those things that he used to do. But he mispronounced his name. I think they spelled it wrong. The name was N-E-V-E-S. And I think whoever did his research for him spelled it N-E-S-E-S, because he called him Nezzy's, Ralph Nezzy's. So anyway, I knew he was talking about. Then Kayak came back and he won the San Carlos Stakes by nose, beating Specify. He won the Santa Anita Handicap, beating Whitchie and Main Man. He won the American Handicap by 5 lengths. Then he won the Hollywood Gold Cup. Came east and ran 2nd to Chaladon in the Narragansett Special. He went to Jamaica and he won the Continental Handicap, beating Hash and Journey On. Chaladon beat him again in the Pimlico Special, beat him by 1/2 length. Chaladon, incidentally, was the champion 3-year-old that year. Closed the season with a win in the Bowie Handicap. He's a 5-year-old, 1940. His only win came in the Sunset Handicap under, carried 131 pounds. Reckoned to, ran 2nd to Seabiscuit in the Santa Anita Handicap. He carried 129, Seabiscuit 130, and there was some speculation that that they let Seabiscuit win. Also, 2nd in 2 other stakes, both of them under top weight, ended his career. He had won 14 of 26 starts with 8 seconds and a 3rd, earned $213,000. His sire, incidentally, was, as I said, was a foal of 1924 Congreve. He was by a horse named Copyright. Congreve was a great sire down in Argentina, led the sire list 7 times. He's a great grandsire of Candy Spots. Let me think now. Candy Spots was a Negromonte, and I think Negromonte was by a horse named Embrujo, but I sure wouldn't bet the farm on that. Anyway, Congreve also was a champion broodmare sire 5 times. And then we were talking about Chaladon a minute ago. It's been a champion 3-year-old, but he was it was horse of the year as far as I go in 1939. 1940, he won the Hollywood Gold Cup. He was by a foal of 36 by Challenger the Second, son of Swinford, had stood up in at Brancastle Farm. W.O. Brand, owned in Maryland. may have been the best Maryland bread of all time. Although probably some arguments about that. Anyways, out of a mare named Laura Galba, Sir Galahad III. E.A. Christmas trained him. 2-year-old, he won the New England Futurity and the Pimlico Futurity. Beat Third Degree. It was by questionnaire in the last named race. Bimelec was the champion 2-year-old that year. 15 starts as a 3-year-old. He had 9 wins, 2 seconds, 2/3, 1/4. It was third first time out in the Chet. It was a Chesapeake Stakes at Havre de Grace. And let's see, he ran second to Johnstown, as a matter of fact, in the Kentucky Derby, because Johnstown went on and won the Belmont Stakes. He was Johnstown bred by, I believe Mr. Arthur Hancock Sr. Bred him. And then this is Charlotte won the Preakness. He ran third in the Dwyer to Johnstown and Sunlover. Johnstown was by Jamestown Sunlover, if I'm not mistaken, with my Sunbow. And he ran third in the Kent Stakes to Sunlover in 830. 830 was the son of Pilot. George D. Widener's horse, 830, stood over out on the Kenny Lane, right across the street from Dixiana on Kenny Lane, at George D. Widener's farm. Let's see. He won the Yankee Handicap, beat Hash. I think I told you Hash was by questionnaire. The only time he was not 1-2-3 was in the Massachusetts Handicap. Fighting Fox won that. And he won the Arlington Classic, beating Sunlover in Johnstown. Ran second in the J.C. Thornton Memorial in Narragansett, the Porter's Might. It was by the Porter. Won the Narragansett Special, beating Kayak the Second. Won the Hawthorne Gold Cup, beating Gridiron and Chief Onaway. And won the Havre de Grace Handicap. Won the Trenton Handicap, beating Hash. Won the Maryland Handicap over General Molee. And he closed the season by winning the Pimlico Special, beating Kayak again and Cravat. 4-year-old. He ran 7 times, had 5 wins, a second and a third. We're talking about Charlatan, man. Won the Hawthorne Gold Cup, carried 133 pounds. Beaten Specified was in with 117. And Can't Wait was in with 115. Won the Whitney, beaten Isolator and Dusky Fox. He won the Havre de Grace Handicap under 130, won the Pimlico Special. Ran second in the Narragansett Special to Hash. Third to 830 in Hash in the UMass Handicap. Under top weight both times. 1941, it kind of tarnished him. He ran 15 times and should have been retired. He just won one race, won the Philadelphia Handicap. Closed out his career with 44 starts, 20 wins, 7 seconds, and 6 thirds, which, you know, but they did tarnish him in them. Wasn't too popular at stud. Went to stud over at Ira Dryman's farm, which over on Russell Cave Road, Gallagher Farm, they called it, which was where the Victory Haven, is that what they call that, training center over there. Mr. Dryman also stood Polynesian there and had a nice horse named Inrock who stood over there. He sired a few runners, 13 stakes winners, which, you know, better than an empty stall. I guess the best thing he sired was Donar, who won 9 stakes. He won the Champagne, the Sanford, and the Sapling as a 2-year-old. Went on and won the Manhattan and the Saratoga Handicap. He is an older horse. He sired Gigantic, who won the Louisiana Derby and the San Antonio Handicap. Sired Tenacious, who was a full brother to Gigantic. They won the New Orleans Handicap twice, Louisiana Handicap twice. They run a Tenacious Handicap down there, by the way. He was bred by Mrs. Joe W. Brown of Lexington. Out of a mare named Dorothy Brown, by Brown King. Her farm was out on the corner of Bryan Station Road and what is now the bypass. It's all developed out there now, but that's where her farm was. Of course, when she owned it, when she first owned it, there wasn't any bypass, you know. Then they put a bypass through part of it. You saw Chalan, who won the Kentucky Oaks in 1948, beat Ray Bell by recount and backtalk. Backtalk owned, was a filly that belonged to Dixiana. Mrs. Fuddy, she won the Hollywood Oaks. She was by Chaladon. Shy Guy, the 1947 winner of the Breeders' Futurity, right here at Keeneland, also won the Keeneland Special, McCurmel FM Alger Handicap up in Chicago. Shy Guy was out of a high-tam mare named Tootsie Cake, little old flop-eared mare. Everything she had hit the ground running. He was a tough little son of a gun, Shy Guy was. I mean, the day he won the Keeneland Special out there, he had horses on each side of him. He had his little head in front. And our Carol was on one of them. There was a Calumet horse. After the race, he jumped off and said, "That's a dog in this little SOB we've ever hooked." He just wouldn't quit. He was a broodmare, sire, fun-loving, and won the Mother Goose. And that's Chaladon. He was a million nice horses. All righty, let me take care of my good friends over at Spendthrift Farm. Tiz now sired another great stakes winner last weekend. That was Kitty Natizzi. She won the Grade 3 Chicago Handicap up at Arlington. Tiz now is a top 10 sire again this year. Tiz Wonderful is the most precocious son of Tiz now. He was undefeated at 2, winning his first start at Saratoga by 12.5 lengths. Then he came to Churchill Downs and he won the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes and the Grade 3 Iroquois. Now his first foals are 2-year-olds. And he had his first winner the other day. She won her first start in a maiden special at, well, where else? Churchill Downs. There are 7 Tiz Wonderful yearlings in Keeneland's sale at Fasey Tipton, and you better take a look at them. They're worthy of your attention. There are also 2 youngsters in the sale by the multiple graded stakes winner Notion, both colts, and 6 by Malibu Moon, 4 colts, 2 fillies. Notional by the sire of Indian Charlie won graded stakes at Santa Anita, the fairgrounds, Monmouth Park. Ran second to Scad Daddy in the Grade 1 Florida Derby. Elite sire Malibu Moon annually ranks among the nation's leading sires. Easy to find his name on the sire list. Just start at the top. For more information about the Spendthrift Farm Stallions, call Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Sean Phil or Ned Toffee. 294-0030. See the website at ShadwellFarm.com. Steve Anderson's wonderful outfit, Equine Savings. And we do mean savings. They can save you, well, up to 28% off commercial mowing equipment from one of the industry leaders, Toro and Exmark, the best in the business. Let me tell you how you can get in touch with them. Let me give you the phone numbers. The local number is 502-863-6000. Toll-free number is 877-905-0004. Or you can visit them at equinesavings.com to learn more. They've got a simple pricing program with one straightforward price for everybody. No coupons, no hassles. Just the best products and at the best prices in the sale. They can really save you money now, and it doesn't cost you a penny to buy through Equine Savings. So get in touch with them. I'll give you those numbers. I'll give them to you one more time down here. And besides the Toro and Exmark mowers, well, organizations like Farm Paint, that's the name of the company, well, go to the website, farmpaint.com, and many of the top farms around here, Judmont, Windstar, people, farms like that use it. I used it on my little place, and I compare myself to those two, that's for sure. But anyway, we used it. There's a pest control, organic pest control firm called Arbico. Check that out. Also Commonwealth Technology for your copier, fax, or scanner needs. They can really save you money. Hear those numbers again, and they answer the phone 7 days a week, 502-863-6000 or 877-905-0004. That's toll-free. Equine Savings, no coupons, no dues, no hassles, just real savings. EquineSavings.com.
Heading down the highway, happy dear friend, no time. Thinking of my folks and friends, sunny southern skies. This feeling's about the best I ever had, Lord, I'm fine. I'm headed south with Nashville on my mind.
All righty. Arthur's no racetracks down in Nashville. The Suburban, it runs Suburban in New York today, and that's an old timer. 1884 was the first running of the Suburban Handicap. General Monroe won it. He was a 6-year-old when he won it. He really didn't show much class until he was a 5-year-old. Won only 6 of his 59 starts, but at 5 he won 7 of 23 starts, including the Saratoga Cup. And at 6 he won 9 of 23. And he also won the Westchester, besides the Suburban, the latter by neck. He won the Suburban by neck over a field of 20. Trained on 7 more years until he was killed in an accident at Brighton. Next year, a horse named Pontiac won it. They didn't name him after the car. I'm sure they named him after the Indian. Chief Pontiac. I don't know if they named him after him or not, because he was imported in utero in 1880 by Pierre Lorillard. Mr. Lorillard raced under the name of Rancoco Stables. Beautiful black coat, they said. That's how Walter Vosburgh described him. Was sent to England as a yearling and trained for Tom Kerrion over there. It was little or no success. Returned to this country in 1884. And he was in a 3-year-old, ran a few races and showed no form. But in 1885, when he won the Suburban, he started to show some really good speed. Got into the Suburban with 102 pounds, won in a canter. Went on to win 8 more races that year. And they said no horse could beat him at 6 furlongs, fastest sprint in the country. Went to stud and sired the 1894 Suburban winner, Ramapo. R-A-M-A-P-O, Ramapo, I guess it is. Better learn how, because Ramapo also won the Metropolitan in 1894, and he won the Suburban in 1894. He also was slow to come around. Must have been in the family. Won his first stakes late in his 3-year-old season. At the 4, he was the best of his division. He won 6 of his 9 starts. They took him to England and did very well over there, both as a runner and as a stud. The 1897 winner was Ben Brush. He was then a 4-year-old. He was by Bramble out of Roseville, by Reform. Walter Vosburgh described him as very small bay colt with a star, and despite his lack of size, he was one of the best racers of his era. As a 2-year-old in October, he likely could beat any 3-year-old in the season. He ran 45 times and he won 25. Very successful at stud. He sired Sweep, who was also very small, and Sweep passed on that smallness, you know. I remember a horse named Sweepall stood out at Dixiana Farm, who was a beautiful horse, blood bay horse. But a very small horse. Sired some good runners, though. He also sired Broomstick. And Ben Brush was the leading sire in 1909. He sired Broomstick, of course. Sired Whisperum II, who won the Suburban in 1913. He was bred by H.P. Whitney. I bet he's buried right over here on Gainesway Farm. This was the old Whitney farm over there. They sent Whisperum to England as a 2-year-old. One of the Prince of Wales Stakes, and he was second to Lindbergh in both the Middle Park Stakes and the Dewhurst Stakes. As a 3-year-old, he won the Select Stakes at Newmarket, was second in the Craven Stakes, third in the 2,000 Guineas. At 4, he won twice, and at 5, he won the Victoria Cup. He'd been heavily handicapped in both races. Came back to the USA in the spring of 1913, less than 3 weeks later, and he won the Metropolitan current under top weight of 126. Went on doing his career and won the Brooklyn and the Suburban, of course, under 139. And ranked well on the sire list four times. All right, that music means it's time to spit out the bit. Ressi, tell the people where they can get this thing.
UrsulaEllis.com, or you can stream live at WLXG.com.
Thank you, Resi. Appreciate the help here. Mary Jane, thank you down in the studio. We appreciate you. You usually do a stellar job. And we'll talk to you guys next week.